Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, we are resuming learning Gemara. We did the malachos so far of Choresh and Zoreya. We also had an extended conversation about malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, because that comes up in Chofer Guma ve'in tzarech ela la'afra. And in the context of malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, we actually covered the malacha of gozes. No? Because part of malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is shearing, is cutting fingernails, cutting hair. That's the sugya on Tzadi Dala. The next big malacha that we'll talk about is the malacha of kotzer. Kotzer, the Gemara tells us, it doesn't matter which item I'm cutting down. No? Hakotzer, habotzer. What is botzer, by the way? Who wants to translate the words? Botzer means?
Grapes.
Goder is? Dates. A tamar, right? You can date a tamar, you can't date a ta'ena. Now that's like the joke. No? Goder, mosek, masik, or mosek, whatever it is. What's that? Right, the Gemara, the way we have it, says masik. Rashi writes mosek. That means olives. Ora is figs. So these are all the same malacha. The Pashtus is that these are ko-avos. This is the way the Rambam has it in Perek Zayin, Halacha, Beis, etc. The Rambam writes that there are, right, we spoke about ko-avos in the past. The Rambam writes, it doesn't matter where I cut. Kotzer halacha dala, kotzer tavua, kitnis, botzer anovim, goder tamarim, mosek zesim. These are all av malacha achas hein. Because in all these things, my kavon is lakar davar migudual. Right? So according to the Rambam, these are all ko avos. The Ramach is quoted in the Kesef Mishnah that botzer and mosek were not done in the Mishkan, and therefore they are toldos rather than avos. No? That's what the Ramach says. Now, I see a few things from the Ramach. One thing that I see is the Ramach is a strict constructionist. Construction in the sense of constructing the Mishkan. No? The Ramach holds that the only thing that's an av melacha is something that I do to construct the Mishkan. No? Building the structure of the Mishkan. But taking grapes and making them into wine, or taking olives and making it into olive oil, all of those things for the Ramach are toldos. Despite the fact that they were needed in the Mishkan, they were not needed for the construction of the Mishkan. If you remember, we had a dispute between Rashi and the Reb Haigon in our youth, no? The Cha'ira, that seems to be the right, the Egle Tal and his Hakdama, right? You pointed out that's Egle Tal, not Igle Tal. You, right? Excellent point, right? But the Egle Tal speaks about this dispute between Rashi and the Reb Haigon about whether we are learning melachos from what was done in the Mishkan, or just on the construction of the Mishkan. This Ramach is taking a stand on that Nakuda, in addition to the fact that the Ramach denies this concept of ko-avos. Nachon? Okay, let's go on. Question. Every malacha has a hagdara. Hagdara will translate as the definition, no? Hagdara means definition. By the way, it's very hard to define the word definition. Okay, this is, think about it, look it up in the dictionary, what the word definition means. It can make you a little bit dizzy, what a definition is, but the Hagdara, the definition of every malacha is, what does the Torah answer when it prohibits the malacha? Right, so we discussed by Zoreya, is the definition of the malacha putting it in the ground? Or is the definition of the malacha creating growth? That usually happens when I put a seed in the ground, right? That was a dispute between, let's say, the Minchas Chinuch and the Rashash, right? Remember this stuff? Our youth. What's the definition of kotzer? I have three possibilities. Three. One definition of kotzer potentially is that I sever something which is mechubar lakarka. Kotzer means something is attached to the ground, and I sever that attachment. That, I would say, is intuitively what we would think kotzer is. Nachon? Possibility number two. Kotzer does not involve necessarily severing something from its attachment to the ground. Rather, kotzer means cutting something off from its source of nourishment. Right, that's another possibility. Kotzer could be that something receives nourishment and I am cutting it off. The third dimension of kotzer, and by the way, lav davka is either or. It's entirely possible that you're chayiv on both or all three of them. The third dimension is being tolesh, removing something from the place where it grew. Okay, there are three possibilities. I should have brought a dry erase, right? To be able to write. The three possibilities in kotzer. Kotzer could mean severing from its attachment, which would mean that the malacha of kotzer is only something that is mechubar lekarka. Kotzer could mean cutting something off from its source of nourishment. Kotzer could also mean not severing, not cutting off from the source of nourishment, but removing something from its natural place of attachment.
What's the difference between two and three?
Let's say I have something that is attached to its natural place where it grew, but is no longer alive. I'm not severing it from its place of nourishment because it's no longer being nourished.
So if I have a piece of wood, like a 2x4, that's stuck in the ground, and I pull it out, that could be tolish?
Again, the piece of wood that's stuck in the ground is not its natural location. But let's say I'm walking on Shabbos in the forest, and there is a lot of dead wood, which is, right, you're a Yagilu guy, right? There's a lot of dead wood that's still attached to the ground. Is there potentially kotzer when something is dead, not receiving nourishment, but still attached? Right? It's its natural place of growing. I formulated number three, la'afuke, the case that you gave. La'afuke, the case of, right? Of something that's just stuck in, but it didn't grow there. So now, I have a Gemara in, did any of you guys do the Gemara in Chulin yet? I know, this is an unfortunate thing. Again, my marimakomas don't go in order. You've probably learned this from me already. Or my presentation doesn't go in order. That's another way of saying it. But the Gemara in Chulin and Daf Kuf Chav Zayin, Mr. Haller, Vushtate, what's it saying? Chulin Kuf Chav Zayin.
Enim Shet Samku. It's about translation, it's like shrunk.
It shriveled up.
Shet
Samku Be'ibehen or something, no? So I have fruit that is no longer getting nourished. It's sunku, it's shriveled. So what's the din? The Gemara says I'm chayiv on Shabbos, even though it's not yet considered a fruit. There's a din of tumas ochlem. There are psukim in Parshas Shmini where the Torah says that food is only mekabel tuma if water fell on it. But to be food, it has to be something that's not attached to the ground. Once it dried, even though it's physically attached to the ground, mahalachically it's not attached to the ground, so it can't be mekabel tumas ochlem. But despite the fact it can be mekabel tumas ochlem, nonetheless, I'm chayiv if I pull it off of the tree. I have figs, which are no longer, it's shriveled up. Right? But I'm still chayiv. However, if you look at Rashi carefully, there in Chulin Kufdav Zayin. Rashi has a linguistic point, right? You like language. Rashi says there's a difference between sunku and yavshu. What's the difference between sunku and yavshu? Translate the word yavshu,
drying,
as opposed to sunku, which is
withering
or shriveling. Zot Rashi. If something shrivels, so it's not completely dry yet. So the ukits, the stem, is still somewhat alive. So Rashi says, oh, then you're chayiv for uprooting it on Shabbos. Because it still is a teeny bit of life. Other, let's say it's yavshu legamre. So Rashi tells me that if it's yavshu legamre, there is no chiyuv at all on Shabbos. Oh, this looks so cool. Yes! Rashi tells me if it's yavshu legamre, if it's mamish, totally, thoroughly dried off, so zakt Rashi, no tolish, no kotzer. That means that according to Rashi, you need some element of nourishment, l'cha'ira, to be chayiv for tolish. Detaching can be tolish only when there is some nourishment for Rashi. However, Maimonides takes a different approach than Rashi. Rambam Perikhes Halacha Dalet. To einim sheyavshu beibehen, right? If you have figs that dried up, v'chein ilan sheyavshu peirosav bo, or a tree that the fruit dried up, hatolish mem l'chayiv afo bishen ka'akurin le'inyan tuma. Rambam uses the word yavshu. The Rambam does not distinguish between whether the ukits, the stem, still retains some lachluchas or not. You get the impression from the Rambam that the malacha of tolesh, kotzer, whatever we're going to call it for now, it does not involve nourishment. It's completely dried, zero nourished. But if I take something off of the area where it grew, if I uproot something from its natural point of growth, so for the Rambam, that is going to be the malacha of tolish, kotzer, right? So far, so good? So Rashi and the Rambam are disagreeing between approaches 2 and 3. Rashi is saying it involves nourishment. The Rambam is saying it doesn't involve nourishment. Now, how do I know approach 1 is wrong? Approach 1, which seems to be, remember, what's chazer? What's approach 1? Right, mechubel karka. So the pashtus is, that would be intuitively correct, but la halacha, right? Approach 1 is wrong, la halacha, is not the complete definition of kotzer. How do you know it's not the complete definition? Huh? How do you know that mechubel karka is not the complete definition? It's a gemara that you guys all saw. Kufa zayin amid beis going into kufa samraf. Tell me, gentlemen, what bracha do you make on a mushroom?
Shahako.
Shahako, right? Huh? I see a quizzical look. Like, hey, dude, why would I make a shahako on a mushroom? I was in Yagilu. And in Yagilu, right, we learned which mushrooms are edible, which mushrooms are not edible. You try not to die of various mushroom poisoning. Right, Nachon? You didn't learn this?
No, we stay away from mushrooms.
Huh? You stay away from all mushrooms.
Yeah, they're supposed to be very, very dangerous part of distinguish.
Okay. But the point, there are some edible mushrooms. If you eat those mushrooms, okay, I'll give you a test. Go to a supermarket and ask for mushrooms. Right? So they'll give you some. And what bracha are you going to make? Shahako. Why? Zok the Gemara. Because mushrooms, halachically, are what? They are not pre ha'adama. I would have thought it's pre ha'adama, but mushrooms don't really get. Mushrooms are spores. Hey, want to Wikipedia this one for me? Right, a mushroom is a spore. That means it's nourished mivravu, right? It's nourished me'aviro. The nourishment of a mushroom comes from the air. It's not priha adoma. Therefore, it's not priha adoma. So I am going to make a shahakol on it. Nonetheless, if I take a mushroom, a pitra, and I pull it off of a una, what's an una? Me una de chatzpa. Where am I pulling this mushroom off of? I'm not pulling the mushroom off of, sometimes when you're in Yagilu, you pull mushrooms off of trees. No, they're mushrooms that grow at the base of a tree. But that's not what's going on in this Gemara. A bucket. A mushroom is somehow growing on a bucket. And I'm chayev for kotzer on it. Or from oker davar migiduo. Huh? What does that mean? It's not mechuber lakarka. No, it's not attached to the ground. Teretz is that the malacha of kotzer, and that's why I sent you to that brief essay in Reb Menachem Zembera in the Totzaos Chayim. Reb Menachem Zembera proves in this Gemara, Kuv Zayin Amid Beis, going over to Kuv Ches Amid Aleph, that the malacha of kotzer does not have to be attached to the ground. Malacha of kotzer, right, even though it's not mechuber lakarka, I have a mushroom on a bucket, pitriot on svat hadwi. Hey, I'm chayit for kotzer. What's the pshat? Teretz doesn't have to be mechuba lakarka. Deep breath. So approach one, the pashtus is wrong. Pashtus is it's wrong.
Well, that's not the entire definition. Combined with two or three.
So again, so one is combined with two or three. Another is severing nourishment, which also does not really work with mushrooms, because mushrooms get nourished from the air. So what would it be? It would be severing it from the place where it grew, naturally. That's the malacha of kaitzer, right? Which would seem to be approach number three. Yet for some reason, Rashi says that once it is dead, so it's halachically considered already detached, and I can't be chayav for further detaching it. Mashallah mahadavradona, in a very broad sort of way, Rabbi Tendler is a big champion of brain death as the halachic definition of death, no? Brain death means that the brainstem is physiologically decapitated. That's the nusach he uses. It's still attached, physically. But physiologically, it's not attached. Right? There's no blood flow to the brainstem. Rashi, lahavdol, Rashi is saying something along those lines. Now, another way of saying this, gentlemen, and I gave you a source in Rav Soloveitchik's Shiurim in Hilchos Shechita. Right? Another way of saying this, this is just like to do a teeny bit of lundis, and in Yetz Hashem, I think on Sunday, we'll have to like talk about halacha, just because we're not going to have enough time over here. It says in Shulchan Aruch that if I shecht b'mechubar, it's pasul shechita.
The knife.
So the knife, vayikaches hama'achelas, it says by Avram Avinu when he went to shecht his son Yitzchak at the Akedah. So he takes the ma'achelas. That means it has to be something that's detached. If it's the knife is attached, it's not kosher shechita. What does it mean that the knife is attached? So Shulchan Aruch talks about if I have a tziporen of a behemoth. Okay, let's say you have an animal, and the animal has very long toenails, no? Some sort of parrot or a bird of prey, no? It has very sharp, what are they called? There's some fancy word for like animal.
Talon.
What? Talon. Right, so the animal has very sharp talons. So can I take my parrot, which is a sharp nail, and use it to shecht the chicken? So Shulchan Aruch says, no, you can't. Right? You can't do that. Why? Because it's not a ma'achelas. It's not detached. Reb Kiva Eger there in Shulchan Aruch Siman Vav asks Akasha. He says, one second, but the animal is not l'chubar l'karga. It's not attached to the ground. Says Rabbi Kivager, maybe the whole din is not talking about an animal. Maybe the whole din is talking about a human being. If I, let's say I'm a kayan, I'm going to do malika on a bird. Notice I have like these thumbnails, right? Is that what they use? I have like thumbnails that are like super giant long, right? So if I'm going to use that, so then maybe I'm chayiv. So then it's not a good shchita, because Rabbi Kiva Eger says that Rashi and Tosis and Kedushin Dav Zayin say that an Adam is considered mechubar lekarka. They have, right, again, avodim shtoris and karkos, right, are the same for many dinim, no? Avodim are like karka. V'hisnachaltem osam levnechem acharechem. And Eved is Hukash Lekarka. Says Rashi there in Kedushin Dav Zayin, all human beings, it's Exeris HaKosav Hukash Lekarka. Humans are Hukash Lekarka. Says Reb Kiva Eger, the din that if I shecht with a nail, that the Shechita is no good, is only a Shechita with a human, because a human is Hukash Lekarka. Humans are halachically considered Lechuba Lekarka. Hey, it's a little bit Dachuk in the language of Shulchan Aruch. Comes along with Moshe Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, the Rav's father. And Moshe Soloveitchik writes, remember years ago, we had a series of shiurim for in memory of the Rashi Yeshiva who passed away. So Rav Shechter's father, Rav Melech Shechter, was a Talmud for Moshe Soloveitchik. He was supposed to give the shiur in memory for Moshe Soloveitchik, memory of the Rav's father. But I think Rav Shechter's father wasn't feeling well, so Rav Shechter gave the shiur in memory of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. And he sent over some Torah from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and this is the shtickle Torah that he sent over. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik says, no, you're mixing kasha and borscht. You're like making a total like challenge over here. There are two dinim. There's a din of mechubar lekarka and a din of mechubar. Mechubar lekarka, that means it's mamash attached to the ground. But there's another din, that shchita b'mechubar, shchita of anything that is attached anywhere. It's not attached to the karka. So if I have an animal, I have my parrot isn't attached to the karka, but the nail is attached to the animal, the shchita is no good, because it's shchita b'mechubar. It doesn't have to be mechubar with karka. L'cha oira, that's exactly what's going on over here. Right? The din of kotzer, right, on the pishra from the una de chatzba, whatever it is, if I take that mushroom off of the dali of the pail, I take the mushroom off of the pail, so I'm going to be chayef for kotzer. The reason why I'm chayef for kotzer is because kotzer doesn't require mechubar lekarka, but it requires mechubar. Severing something that was mechubar, can say that that is the malacha of kotzer, even though it is not karka. Next time we learn, we're going to plug this into your case of dildel ubar b'me'ei behema. No? Animals are not mechubar karka, but the baby is attached to the mommy. Okay? To what extent is that considered kotzer or not is going to be relevant. So let's just chazer what we did today. Again, three possibilities of kotzer. Either kotzer means severing something that was attached to the ground, or kotzer means psikas hayanika, or kotzer means detaching something from where it was naturally. L'cha'or, the approach of mechubar lekarka is proven wrong from that Gemara of the Pitra. No? So I have two possibilities that remain standing, which seems to be Machlekes Rashi and the Rambam, and we will develop this as we go weiter. Okay, gentlemen? We should have a good Shabbos. Yeah.